It is the little theft. It is the little indiscretion, the little affair. Do you go right out in front of your wife and have an affair? And does she like it? Now, there are some, I'm using this as an example. I'm not saying it's good or bad or all right. It's wrong. And you know it's wrong. Because you're hurting somebody else. Maybe you are not hurt, and maybe your lover is not hurt, but oh my, your wife is pained greatly. So when you ask about the message, I have no other message to bring other than if you don't start living by the moral laws of God as handed down to mankind, you are God's children. And as a parent, and if you want to consider me a parent, that's just fine with me. Because if I lie to you, or if I tell you, hey, it's okay to have that affair. No, I won't tell you that. But I will tell you it's your business. And my message is one of total responsibility. You see, most people do not want to hear my message because once you know truth, once you understand and you know, there is no going back to not knowing. Now, you can argue with yourself and say, oh, that was nothing. That's fine. You will never go from this place. If you even question the possibility of truth here, you will never go from this place ever again able to put it aside. That's what it's about. And that is the message. All are birthed with this knowledge of right and wrong. And you know that what is going on in this world this day is wrong. It's morally corrupt. It's wrong. Any time a man enslaves another of any race, creed, color, or species, it's wrong. And these are the unending, undying, absolute laws of the universe. These are universal laws. There are cosmic laws. There are universal physics laws, but this is the law by which man is supposed to conduct himself. And these are the things you will have to come to be in your beingness, your intent. You are not judged on anything this lower half of your face says. God has capability of discerning intent. What is your intent? And this is why common law is going to have to come back to your nations or you're lost. You cannot continue to go in Admiralty Maritime British High Seas law of the dictator or the admiral and corrupt attorneys and a judicial system that functions for itself and can then enforce the laws that are illegitimate and unconstitutional. They force them off on you, the people, because they can, and that is force, and that is wrong, and you know it's wrong. You don't need a lesson from a preacher to tell you these are wrong activities. So you're going to have to come along and bring back the law of honor to your court. What is just? What is right? There is no justice in your court. You might as well call it the unjust system. So let us deal with what is. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. And you're very quick to say, well, that was wrong. But is it as wrong if it affects you as it is if it affects someone you don't know, you see? And you're going to have to learn to care about this when you don't know. This is called brotherhood. You have to come out of the egocentric focus on self and your great position. And you've got to come back within caring. about the freedom of your fellow man. And I don't talk about worship. Don't go worship anything, and God included. God didn't create you to be lesser to worship something. All your parents want from you, all your God wants from you, is a reflection of what you are in as near perfection as you can get. Like a parent is not going to slap you down if you make a mistake.
Commander?
Yes.
The gentleman from Extra wanted to walk around and talk to a few people.
You're fine. I don't want to study. I just want to have you turn the volume down.
Turn it down. They want us to turn it down. What if they do that?
Well, I would as soon rest.
Then it's probably a good time.
What is today? Guys, what is today?
The date of your anniversary.
What is today?
Seven.
Our anniversary was the 5th.
You missed the 15th. Did you remember?
No. Not until the 2nd when he asked how long we'd been married.
Uh-oh. Did you remember that?
No. I didn't know what the day was.
They cried just a week.
That is not so, Wally.
You want me to hold it?
No, I can put it in your pocket.
Could I get you
right here? Unless you're going to...
29 years old.
Right here.
Right here. You can have an audience here, I guess.
What does that thing do?
Nice to monitor. Check the lighting and
wait and see what the problem in there. That's the management.
Or communicate like this. It was at home, and it would be like my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Dr. Overholt was there, and we were doing other things. Mr. Martin was often there. It was like kindergarten for me.
Well, let me ask EJ that then. What do you remember how this all first began, the translating of the commander? Did you know what was happening? Were you scared? Were you concerned?
Curious. It began with a gathering that she described. And there was a lady here who called herself Tuita. She was from Indiana, and she had been asked to come out here to be with this gathering to introduce the commander to us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know at the time it was to us. It was just sort of to the general gathering.
Yeah.
And after Tuita went back to Indianapolis, there was a period of a week or so, and Doris began to write things. It's the same thing as called automatic writing. But she wrote so fast, and it ran into each other, and we were trying to keep all of the people who were associated with the gathering up to date with ongoing things.
So, I mean, at some point she started speaking with the commander's voice, or?
Yes.
Out of the blue, or?
Well, no, the reason she started speaking was because it took me a long time to translate from her handwriting, which all runs together, and no, it's all one line. The commander suggested that she get a tape recorder so that she could also speak it as she was writing it. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, instead of writing it all at all, she was speaking it.
Why do you think the commander chose your wife?
Well, he answered that question once today. Because he can trust her. When he says bullshit, she says bullshit.
Trust her with what?
With telling it exactly the way he says it. She does not edit his work, his words. And apparently he has known her in other lives, to use that term, trips, to use mine.
What do you see as the essence of the commander's message? If it, I know you covered a wide variety of topics. Is it possible that it can be boiled down? Or is that impossible?
It would be impossible for me. I cannot speak for the commander.
No, but I'm saying your understanding of what the message is. I mean, you've been listening for a long time. Well, what is it that you've heard? What's the main point, if there is one?
Well, when the man who was later called Jesus, whose name was actually Emmanuel at the time, was here on earth 2,000 years ago, he was told, and he passed on the information, that in these latter days, in the latter days, the word would come forth. And the word would be truth. And the word would be love, and the word would be light. There were many characterizations. My understanding that the commander's mission at this time is to deliver on that promise from God.
The promise of?
Bringing forth the word, the truth.
And the truth is?
The truth is spread on that wall over there. See, that all of those Phoenix journals are a recording of these last days.
And the truth is what? In your words.
Well, there are 200 volumes.
So there's a long. It's a long. Yes. It's not. It's not a simple answer to that question. I guess is what you're saying.
No.
But I mean, are you talking about like the world is going to end, or we need to change, or you know what I'm saying? What's the point? I mean, you were talking about these latter days.
Right. Men have created quite a number of corrections to the Bible over time. To serve themselves. And among some of those corrections are various and sundry prophecies. The commander told you today that those prophecies need not be fulfilled if we make up our minds that that's not the way we want it to end. It doesn't have to end, but it can end. The technology is available to more than one government on our planet to end the planet.
Let me shift the direction just a little bit. What is the relevance of all of this to the Phoenix Institute?
The Phoenix Institute is a Nevada corporation that was set up at the suggestion of George Green, so that we could accept funds and have additional funds available for the publications of the newspaper and the journals. Excuse me. George was the publisher of the first 50 journals, as the commander mentioned. Funds were to come into the Phoenix Institute and be used to purchase gold. Gold was put into a bank where there could be a line of credit drawn against that gold as collateral. Quite a number of advantages to this, especially as George saw it, because he had been in
Did that happen?
Oh, yes.
You bought gold?
Oh, yes.
But the price hasn't gone up, I guess, as you anticipated hoped.
As a matter of fact, it hasn't gone anywhere. It has been between 400 and 330 all the time.
So, what do you say to, you know, the Betty Tootons out there that, that have these promissory notes that I could show you that, that say to be payable on demand, and now she claims she can't get her money back and that she felt she was a victim of fraud?
Well, George Green was a securities broker.
Yeah.
Not just a salesman, but he had a brokerage or a dealer's license. He was very knowledgeable in that business, and he said that the promissory note between corporations and trusts was not registrable as a security, and that at the same time, if the promissory note, if it did not contain all of the conditions, that it would not become a security. And so in the promissory note and the site agreement, he required, I guess you'd say, that we not, I guess you might say, tell the whole story in this, in that everybody who ever got one of those notes was told by George and by myself that gold had to double in price in order for this whole thing to work out, because we were, if you're using a line of credit against mm-hmm. collateral, you've got to have an increase in the price of the gold in order to pay off the note. So all of these people understood that. Leon Fort understood it. Betty Tootin understood it. There isn't anybody.
So now they're in effect want to change the rules after the fact, is what you're
That's
saying.
That's what it boils down to, but it, I don't blame Betty so much as I do George.
Well, then why do you need, I mean, there are some who feel that you might have taken advantage of people, got them to loan, in effect, their life savings. Do you see, you don't see it that way, obviously.
I don't recall ever suggesting that anybody loan all of their life savings. That was not, that's not my idea.
Mm-hmm.
George may have done that. I can't speak for him. My understanding of Betty's situation was that she had an additional $1 million inheritance. Whatever became of that, I don't have any idea. But as far as I know, the $400,000 that she talked about here wasn't all of it.
I mean, why do you need people's money?
Well, we don't make enough money in the contact, for instance, to support it.
Mm-hmm.
The farm is a research facility and isn't intended to earn a profit, and it hasn't even paid its way. And I believe you talked with Rod Ince. He was the farmer out there. He was drawing something like $50,000 a year, and it was costing quite a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while that was going on, there was no income coming in.
I mean, y'all seem like a great group of people, but why are we talking? We're talking with 4, 5, 6 people in the area that say they're afraid to talk about you guys, former members, that they call them members. I mean, what do they base that on? Are they just using their wild imaginations, or is
well,
there a reason for
one,
that?
Well, number one, they want to get EJ and I. I'm not sure why. I really am not sure why.
They want to get back at you.
We don't really. And haven't controlled anything. This is something that is very interesting, and I think that maybe you ought to know this. We don't get anything for the work. I don't believe that God can be for sale. I don't believe that truth should be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
If books are published, they have to be paid for.
Right.
You have to.
So there's no, there's no,
pay for print.
There's no hidden. Bank accounts, or you're not profiting off
not.
Of this.
It becomes totally ridiculous.
I mean, you think that it's absurd that we're even here asking you these questions?
No, I don't think it's absurd, because I think it's time that a lot of things are talked about. With the theft of the gold, this sort of brought it to a head.
Yeah.
We had, and Dr. Carlson is here from Hawaii. One of the most recent things that I have seen that was appalling to me was George Green giving a seminar, really, for Dr. Carlson and friends. And he talks greatly about, well, his great expertise. He's a millionaire. He owned a bank. He is this. He's that. And that can be made available to you. And he creates, quote, the illusion of money.
All right, but all these people that are here, I mean, they're not required to donate or to loan. I mean, it's just it's open. They can come here.
Yes. And when they say we've taken some, I have not taken a cent from anybody, including Betty Tootin or Leon Fort. These were, I considered them friends. We did not go on the road. We did not have seminars. We didn't do anything.
EJ
and I stayed right here.
I mean, you'd be content to stay here in relative anonymity and have your meetings, and you don't want attention. You're not trying to spread the word, or are you?
Well, I would hope that hope that now that the truth would get out there. And when we talk about truth, it is such a silly word to use. We talk about politics. We talk about religion. We are informed of many things, and to say, well, go read 200 journals is absurd for me to say to you.
Yeah.
And so what is our purpose? What is my purpose? Well, I think that if I could sum it up, just sitting here, you know, trying to put it mm-hmm. into a short little scenario, is that we have, as a civilization, gotten into trouble. I don't think it is better now or worse now than it was 2,000 years ago, if you look at what historically was taking mm-hmm. place. I think we have to confront as individual people and assume responsibility for our government, our style of living, our moral, our being. And yet, I have no right to speak to your druthers, if you will.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people who agree with you 100%. But why do you need the commander to say that? Why can't you say it as Doris sitting on that chair? It seems to me, as an outsider, that you lose credibility when you bring in the story of the commander.
But I'm not asking for credibility. I'm not asking for anything.
Well, you want people to listen to believe what you say. And you have tapes you send
out.
It's going
to shock you to know that I don't. I don't send out papers. I would hope that you would be able to look at me and see that I am sincere. I'm not. If I am lying, it is honest. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to be gracious.
You
came. You came here, and this is what I am. I have nothing else to offer. I think it would be nice if I could get up, but I would like to remind you of a few people that have gotten up and spoken for themselves, and look, they're in worse shape than I am, and that's Claire Prophet, Catherine Kuhlman. That's before your time.
No, let me ask EJ a question. I'm just going to change this real quick, and we're almost finished here. How am I doing? Am I leaving out the important stuff? It's my, he thinks and I speak. It's a similar thing.
Very well done.
He's in a high chair.
At least you don't leave him tweet with him. I mean, the energy is just incredible.
I just wanted to say, I don't want to interrupt him, but you asked an important question here. She doesn't want any attention, and you say, well, why doesn't she just speak? Why have commander? Because none of us mere mortals are in command of these many different things. I'm from the academic world. I know how long it takes to put a book together.
Yeah.
Okay? You do not write 200 books. Nobody on this planet has enough knowledge to write 200 books in this many years on that many diverse subjects. So if she were to try to lie and say she wrote them, we have a big problem. You might as well be completely honest and say, it ain't me, I'm no more than a radio receiver, and the stuff is spewing down from a much more sophisticated being than me. That's the key element here.
All right.
So try lying and see how far you're going to get.
Now, you want to make it clear, though, that you're not a cult. I mean, you guys have laughed when we used that term before. I mean, how would you describe what goes on here?
I guess you might call it a loose association of people.
With similar beliefs.
Yes. And the commanders has published these journals and a newspaper for the purpose of getting the attention of certain people in the United States and all around the world.
To tell them what?
Well, to tell them that the truth is here, available.
You don't want to commit to what the truth is, though. I mean, I asked you that 3-4 times. I mean, I know you mentioned it's in the 200 journals, but hang on a second. I mean, you've been dealing with this every day. This is your life.
Yes.
So, what I'm trying to get from you is your interpretation of what the message is, why you're all here, and what it is that you want to get out.
Well, let me try you one more time.
All right. I know it's hard with the cameras and the lights and all that. It's distracting, but...
The basic truth is that we are all one. All, everything, all, comes from God, God Creator. And we are all the thought of God. And if you listen to the American Indians, the American Natives, Native Americans, I should say, mm-hmm. you'll find that they say everything is connected. Every Aboriginal group in the world has that basic philosophy. So it becomes as described in a paper called The Universal One. And that is that energy from the thought of God coalesces first maybe into mm-hmm. holograms, but finally down into this physical level.
So you... Would you describe that as a philosophy, as a religion, as simply a way of life? How would you...
Sure. Well, I'm not much on philosophy or religion, but as a way of life, it gives you something to understand, and the seeking, the soul seeking with inside of everybody, the unrest that we yeah. all feel, is our desire to get back there to that source.
And so... Again, I don't want to keep dwelling on this, but the people that are disgruntled about the financial end of things are people who misunderstood the arrangement and are simply trying to get back something they're not entitled to now, or?
I wish I could be that kind. The people who are disgruntled with the arrangement, most of them were called by George Green to come to a meeting in Carson City
yeah.
in... early February of 1993. And at that meeting, he said to them, take your money out of the Institute, bring mm-hmm. it up here, and we'll redo this situation,
yeah.
and we'll do it right this time. So most of those people came back here. A couple of days later, we had a telephone call from a lady in Florida who said, I just spoke with George Green, and he said that to get our money out of the Institute right away because they were going to take it down.
Mm.
And George has been working on that ever since because he knows that as long as the Institute is in business, he can't get his hands on that gold. And he's promised that gold to so many attorneys and other people
mm.
that he's going to have a real problem when he does not get his hands on that gold.
How much gold is there?
1,100 ounces. And at today's price, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000.
Is that all the assets of the Institute, basically?
No.
That's the gold he actually took.
He took it?
Yeah.
So it's not under your control anymore?
No, that was given to the Institute. It was sent to George as an officer and director. It was given to the Institute. And he did not tell us or
so
anyone else.
Where is it
else.
Now?
He kited it off to Nevada.
So you have the Institute has no gold.
Well, the Institute does have gold.
George's gold or other gold?
No, other gold.
How much does the Institute have?
That's private information.
A lot or a little? Or?
A lot.
So what would be wrong with if you have these people who want their money back, selling some and giving it to them?
Because there is ongoing litigation.
Between?
Their notes. Don't misunderstand something. It's like holding stocks. If you turn in your stocks, you've lost if the price is down.
Yeah.
This is just simple market arithmetic. Why should other people that have shared and loaned pay them to have litigation against and try to put the institute into receivership, which has been tried? We will put it into what they call involuntary receivership, appoint receivers, sell all the assets, and then there are going to be some that are going to lose.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that if you really were not just, I don't like to use the term evil, but what in the world could be gained by these people doing what they are doing?
Well, I mean, people said they want their money back, right?
Their notes are just as good as they were the day they were written.
But
there are not the funds just to write them a check. Why would you write Betty Tootin, who is suing you? And it's more than that. This lady had, we had another friend.
What's the purpose of a note, then?
Look, I'm not a business person.
Yeah.
And everybody knew exactly what they were doing. And you will find, and I can get down, and if we want to get really grimy about this, Betty Tootin put nothing in the Institute. Zero. Zip. She certainly didn't give it to us.
The 402,000.
She had a corporation. When these people come and they say, I want my money back.
Yeah.
Well, supposing you're GE and Joe Blow comes in and says, I want my money back. Well, I don't even know who you are. What are you talking about? If you bring, or do you represent a corporation? Well, yes, I do. Well, which corporation? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Well, then you're not going to get any money back, not out of this corporation.
Does that cast you in a bad light?
I don't care what kind of a light. This is law. This is business. This is honor and integrity. If you want, if you literally feel you have put money in, but you have used a corporation to do so with another corporation, then you have to come and you have to bring the proper application to get your money back.
So your message to Betty is what at this point?
I don't have any message for Betty at this point. Betty Tootin went out there and literally went into an agent's office and took three corporation sets of books for a woman in Florida. Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough to do that once. We had to report that to the police. She took it. They changed the corporate officers. They changed the corporate structure. It was illegal. It was a crime. So we tried to talk to her. All right, just get the books back to the corporate officers, to the corporate agent.
Yeah. So
they pulled them out again. And this time, she put herself in as
but
the agent.
All of these notes, these promissory notes, I mean, are these worth anything? Do they mean anything, or is it just paper?
Who are they to?
Well, this Bethel Enterprises to pay, Phoenix Institute paid to Bethel Enterprises $50,000. Phoenix Institute paid to Bethel Enterprises $40,000. Phoenix Institute paid to Bethel Enterprises $55,000.
Who is Bethel Enterprise?
That's Betty Tootin's company.
That's Betty's corporation, right?
I don't know.
Are there any side agreements there?
I don't know. That's all I have. I mean, look, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether Betty Tootin gave you $400,000 or $8 million. This is the whole reason we found out about your organization, because she wrote us a letter.
Thank you.
And I don't mean us directly. I don't mean us directly, but apparently she sent a letter to, you know, a variety of news organizations and so forth. So, you know, here you have a little old lady who gave $400,000 to the Institute, and I use the term gave in a, you know, loosely.
You certainly are.
She may have created a corporation and gave them money. I mean, you guys live in this
she
world.
She gave
you,
nothing.
You know what
she
the,
gave
you know
nothing,
what the, okay,
and
but
she
it's perception
interest
and reality.
On her
the perception,
notes.
The perception is you stole poor Betty's money.
Well, I don't care what the perception is. That is outright wrong.
The reality is what? She made a loan through a corporation?
She might as well have gone down and loaned GE, some money, or the bank, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are procedures, number one. And number two, she has created a crime against us. And I'm not talking when I say us. There's anybody else in this room who is... Nora is the secretary yeah. of the Phoenix Institute, Mr. Leonthal.
Right.
I feel, and you may air this if you want to, I feel you were extremely remiss. You are the only tabloid that has run such garbage.
Well, it's not a tabloid, but that's okay.
Well, I...
What else do we want to ask? Sorry, for once.
How do you make a living? You say you don't take any funds from the Institute and you're not...
Do you have an income or do you have a regular job?
We're on Social Security. He was 12 years with Transamerica in the financial business, Occidental Transamerica.
So your income is mainly Social Security now?
And pension.
And pension.
From Transamerica?
Yes.
What was your profession when you worked for them?
I was in the investment department.
Any specialty or?
It was called Transamerica Investment Management at the time.
So you're saying that the Eckers do not profit in any way from the Institute, the loans, contact,
We pay rent on our house. No, we do not profit.
We have paid bitterly trying to make up and just hang together long enough so that everybody that was left stranded here, that it wouldn't just fall apart. We have stayed here. When George Green left this place, he even took the subscriptions to the paper with him. These are damaging, horrible things to try to live through when the man is saying you've made millions of dollars and you've received nothing. And you're about to lose your house anyway because of the legal manipulations. And that is worth another 4 weeks. You've got a series to run on that one.
People that have been associated with you in the past and are now on, let's say, the other side of the fence, accuse you of mind control, of brainwashing this.
Do you feel mind control this afternoon?
We're not talking about me. We're talking about the people that are around you, perhaps people that you've encouraged to invest into the Phoenix Institute. How do you respond to the accusation that you're using brainwashing and seizing on people who may be open to this kind of thing because they're searching?
I don't have any answer.
I do. That's one of George Green's favorite stories.
Accusing you, you mean?
Well, yes. And actually, he's pretty good at it himself.
Let's get a three shot. Okay. Let's get a three shot. If you have anything else that you... That was the end of our question. I mean, if you have anything else you want to touch on that we didn't... I'm just going to get a couple of shots of us here for editing purposes here. Here, this is the stuff we're looking at here.
No, I can't.
Oh, you need your glasses here. You have your glasses? This is the stuff we're looking at here.
So, are you off here?
So, you came to, you mentioned the wind energy business? That's what came you up, brought you out here to Tehachapi initially? What, in the 80s? Or?
I guess it was.
Where were you before that? In LA? Or?
Yes.
How were you trying to manufacture?
We put up
machines,
wind machines, and as far as our terrible reputation, as a matter of fact, we put up a wind park for a man that you might want to check out by the name of George Scharfenberger. He was the head of city financing in New York. He was in 1986 the highest paid executive
in New York.
In the United States, yes, city financing was in New York. We had a great relationship with him, and I don't think that other than these people that you interviewed, mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to find anything impeachable about our character. And when it would have been far easier to leave this place, we chose to stay and do what we could do to make sure nobody lost anything. And it's been difficult. Really, really difficult. And most of the people that are in this room...
Lost what? I mean, what was there to lose?
When you damage a corporation as badly as we have been maligned, as Phoenix Institute, the Ecker Institute, and this sort of thing... People are going to lose. If you put this corporation into receivership, they know that people are going to lose whatever they have loaned. It's simple business. And I want to tell you, from time to time, it would have been so easy just to say, well, why don't we just go? Why don't we just let it go? And people say, why do you keep struggling? Even about our house, the property, because what was done was wrong.
What was done?
Why should people, and some of these people in here have loaned money to the Institute, and that's why they're here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Because we have stayed to try to work through the theft, the bad publicity. It isn't a commander over there in the middle of the room or a me. We feel responsible, and when you want the message is, if we don't get responsible, this world's in trouble. And it's easy enough maybe to gather up 1,100 ounces of gold and go bury it in your yard and hope you never get caught, but it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start living right, we are never going to make it. This society is going to fold in on itself. Already, the children in the cities are shooting each other. They don't have anything better to do. They have nothing to look forward to. The only excitement they've got is a little bloodshed. Well, I can really get up on the soapbox because we have been in court. We have paid bitterly just to try to maintain truth and honor and integrity here. And it's really bad when you guys put somebody like Rod Ince, who stole 50 grand from the Institute. I'm talking about stole it. He was president of the Institute, and he went out and he brought in $23,000 asking for a note. Now you're going to get the note bit. He wanted a note for this. He got it from his mother. He lied. He got it from one of the people, the friends. And they immediately said they did not loan him the money. They did not give him the money. They gave it to the Institute to buy tractors and some equipment for that farm. Well, he came up with tractors and equipment from the farm, and after 3 years, the farm went down, 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 down. While he was taking welfare and child aid, he was pulling in 50 grand a year from the Institute.